Good morning and welcome to our worship on this, the second Sunday of Advent. This broadcast is coming to you from Trinity Lutheran Church, 1245 New Hampshire Street in Lawrence, Kansas. Our recording team consists of Megan McCoy, cantor and music director, Stuart Taylor, our organist, Samuel Boos is on the trumpet, Trini Crocker is a vocalist, Michael Devlin is a lector, and Ryan Devlin is our assisting minister. Kevin Boatwright is our sound engineer and photographer. We continue this week to have our services uploaded to YouTube, and the link will be found on our Facebook page. If the service is cut off on our radio broadcast, YouTube will have the complete service. We join now in confession. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, whose forgiveness is sure and whose steadfast love endures forever. Amen. Together, let us honestly and humbly confess that we have not lived as God desires. We keep silence for personal reflection and self-examination. Loving and forgiving God, we confess that we are held captive by sin. In spite of our best efforts, we have gone astray. We have not welcomed the stranger. We have not loved our neighbor. We have not been Christ to the other. O God, wake us up and turn us from our sin. Renew us each day in the light of Christ. Amen. People of God, hear this glad news. By God's endless grace, your sins are forgiven, and you are free, free from all that holds you back, and free to live in the peaceable realm of God. May you be strengthened in God's love, comforted by Christ's peace, and accompanied with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We join now in our gathering hymn, Evangelical Lutheran Worship 436, Wake, Awake, for Night is Flying.
Oh,
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, and also with you. Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, Lord God, to prepare the way of your only Son. By his coming, strengthen us to serve you with purified lives through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading is from the 40th chapter of Isaiah. Comfort, O my people, comfort, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term and that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall be level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I say, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up. Do not fear, say the cities of Judah. Here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms, and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead the mother sheep. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Righteousness shall prepare a pathway for God. Righteousness shall prepare a pathway for God.
The second reading is from 2 Peter, the third chapter. Do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to recompense. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens shall pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and everything that is done on it will be disclosed. Since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, what sort of persons ought you to be in leading lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set ablaze and dissolved, and the elements will melt with fire. But in accordance with his promise, we wait for the new heavens and a new earth where righteousness is at home. Therefore, beloved, while you are waiting for these things, strive to be found by him at peace, without spot or blemish, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We join now in the gospel acclamation on page 160. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, O Christ. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, amen. Zora Neale Hurston is an African-American author, was an African-American author, and incredible personality, and she wrote a little book called Their Eyes Were Watching God. The book was a story about the struggles of life and love, part romance, part a mirror showing us the way in which people locked in prejudice and poverty attempted to deal with all of the issues of life. She wrote and lived her perspective as an African-American woman. This is a line from the first part of the book. There are years that ask questions and years that answer. What question has 2020 asked of us? Hear the words again of Isaiah. A voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and the people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And a voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? What is the question that the year 2020 is asking of us? What is the Advent question for us today in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of not being able to attend church in person, in the midst of all of our life changes and struggles? What is the question that is being asked of us today? The prophet asks us to cry out. And the people of this day ask, what shall I cry? Today we hear lots of cries. Perhaps the most common cry, born of frustration and fatigue, is, when will it end? When will the virus be under control? When will there be a vaccine? When will we be safe? I hear a variety of cries that are difficult to hear. One I've heard over and over again is, why can't I go see my loved one in the nursing home? Why can't I go see my loved one in the hospital? Others include, why shouldn't I go to church? Why do I have to wear a mask? Why do I have to be socially distanced? All of these questions are our contemporary cries to God, asking for relief and asking for help. And where are the answers? What should we cry, and what is the response that we should make? Here's another quote from Their Eyes Were Watching God. Love makes your soul crawl out from its hiding place. When we are in crisis, when we are frustrated, our behaviors can be expressions of anger, and many times we do and say things that hurt others. Our fears overtake us, and we hide our true self, the self of love and forgiveness, and our actions, always louder than words, are negative. But when love makes our inner self come out from its hiding place, we can change our little corner of the world, our little moment, and once again we can be whole as a community. This line from Their Eyes Were Watching God is one that is full of truth and hope. It reads, if you can see the light at daybreak, you don't care if you die at dusk. And then she says rather wistfully, so many people never see the light at all. When we cry out, we need to open our eyes and begin to watch what God is doing all around us. Advent is a time when our eyes need to watch God in the world. Advent is a time when, as the prayer of the day says, we need to stir up our hearts. There are words of 2 Peter that might give us a clue as to what we should be doing. Therefore, beloved, while you are waiting for these things, strive to be found by Him at peace, without spot or blemish, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. Advent is a waiting time, but it is also a time of peace in a broken world. The candles on our Advent wreath, if we could see them, and if we remember the stories of each of those candles, cry out in their own way an answer to what we should be doing with these Advent minutes that we have. This past week, our children received Advent packages and told the story of the candles of the Advent wreath. The candle names are hope, faith, sometimes called love, joy, and peace, sometimes called prayer. The center candle, the white one, is called the Christ candle, and it is lit on Christmas Eve, or when we still had Christmas Day services on Christmas Day. And these candles also have old names: prophecy, Bethlehem, shepherds, and angels. Those candles mark time and also introduce us to an attitude guide for the days leading up to Christmas. We need to live lives marked with hope, governed by faith, filled with joy, all the while being examples of peace and prayer. Another quote from Their Eyes Were Watching God. Ships at a distance have every man's wish on board. For some, they come in with the tide. For others, they sail forever on the same horizon, never out of sight, never landing until the watcher turns his eyes away in resignation, his dreams mocked to death by time. And that is the life of men. And now she reflects, now women forget all those things they don't want to remember and remember everything they don't want to forget. And the dream is the truth. And then they act and do things accordingly. Watching God, using God's eyes, gives us access to the truth of the dream. It is the wonder of living in a world where God acts in us and through us, where we celebrate the wonder of Emmanuel, God with us. The prophet Isaiah says, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. Who will prepare your way? The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" You see, we are God's messengers. We are the presence of God once again in a world that is torn apart by fear and hatred. We are the people with eyes that are watching God. The questions asked by every year and the questions that we can answer with time marked by the Advent wreath, the answers are we are always examples of hope, love, joy, and peace. Just think of it. Think of all the ways that we can introduce people to eyes that watch God in our midst. Think with me for a moment. Look into the eyes of a child hoping for Christmas. Look into the eyes of someone you love and see how that love is returned. If you can hold someone's hand, someone who perhaps gave birth to you, now older and facing a different time in their journey, and look into their eyes and see what their life and yours has become. If you can walk the streets wearing a mask and see the people, the young wrapped in busyness, urgency in their steps, parents with a slightly frantic look in their eyes, seeking a Christmas present that no one has, keep your eyes open and watch for God there in that homeless person struggling for whatever hopes and dreams they still may have. Look into the eyes of someone who looks at you, their eyes framed above their mask. Can you see their hopes and dreams, their fears and their sadness? Listen as you watch. The background music comes as carols, both sacred and secular. These sounds should reassure us, but sometimes they sound a bit hollow. We need to remember that in the midst of all of this, we need to have eyes that are watching God. Zora Neale Hurston, in the latter part of her book, says, "They seemed to be staring at the dark, but their eyes were watching God." When we look, when we open our eyes and our hearts, we watch God in the world. We watch God following the steps of our Advent candles. We take that first step, hope, and follow it with love and faith, and it is followed by the incredible reality of joy. And finally, we arrive where peace dwells and prayer surrounds us. A final thought. When we hear the cry, we need to remember this bit of wisdom. Two things everybody got to do for themselves. They got to go to God. And they got to find out about living for themselves. So let's open our eyes and hearts and see clearly what God is doing in our world and in our lives. May we all go to God for hope, love, joy, and peace. Amen. Now we join together in the hymn of the day, ELW 244, Rejoice, Rejoice, Believers.
Our service continues with the Apostles' Creed found in your Evangelical Lutheran Worship Hymnals, page 160. The Apostles' Creed found on page 160. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On a third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen. God of power and might, comfort your people and come quickly to this weary world. Hear our prayers for everyone in need. Faithful God, you teach us to wait for you with faithfulness and patience. Sustain and support us in our doubts and questions. Nurture our faith as we discern and enact your mission. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Loving God, you set the stars in the sky and breathe life into the earth. Renew the face of creation where it is in need of your healing touch. Mend the wounds of environmental damage and restore balance to ecosystems so that all creation can declare your praise. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Steadfast God, you never tire of seeking justice. Where people suffer from discrimination, judgment, and injustice, speak words of truth and comfort. We pray especially for our Douglas County community that we may seek equality with all. Lead us toward a world where faithfulness will sprout underfoot and righteousness rain down from above. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Leading God, you ask us to make uneven ground smooth. Make even the disparities between your people. Sustain and support people with physical and intellectual disabilities. Accompany those who work for a world accessible to all. Teach us to celebrate the great diversity in our midst. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Tender God, you know our sorrow and joy alike. We pray for those in our families and congregation who are not joyful in this holiday season. Comfort those who are sick or struggling with the effects of COVID, and gather all people in your healing embrace. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. And eternal God, we give thanks for the saints who have prepared your way in the wilderness and taught us to continue their faithful work on this St. Nicholas Day. We pray and mourn especially with the family and friends of Donna Osnes. Make their generous lives an example for all. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Draw near to us, O God, and receive our prayers for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
At this point in our liturgy, we exchange God's peace with one another, wishing for the peace of God for all people everywhere. The peace of Christ be with you always, and also with you. We now have our offering and offertory, and I want to express thanksgiving for all of you who have continued to support Trinity Lutheran Church, absent of in-person worship. Thank you for your gifts. Thank you for your support of the ministry of this congregation in this place. At this point in our liturgy, we join together in the great thanksgiving, ushering in our communion liturgy. I would invite you to find some bread and wine, and a little later on when we share the words, take and eat and take and drink, to share those gifts with each other, the presence of our Lord. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts, lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, you have brought us thus far along the way. In times of bitterness, you did not abandon us, but guided us into the path of love and light. In every age, you sent prophets to make known your loving will for all humanity. The cry of the poor has become your own cry. Our hunger and thirst for justice is your own desire. In the fullness of time, you sent your chosen servant to preach good news to the afflicted, to break bread with the outcast and despised, and to ransom those in bondage to prejudice and sin. And so with all of the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood, which is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. This bread and this wine are God's gifts for each of us as people of God. We join now in singing Lamb of God on page 164. We join now in our communion hymn, Evangelical Lutheran Worship 241, O Lord, how shall I meet you? And now, take and eat the body of Christ given for you. Now, take and drink the blood of Christ given for you.
Let us pray. Gracious and abundant God, you have done great things for us, and we rejoice. In this bread and cup, you give us life forever. In your boundless mercy, strengthen us and open our hearts to the world's needs, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
And now the benediction. The Creator of the stars, bless your Advent waiting. The long-expected Savior, fill you with love. The unexpected Spirit, guide your journey, now and forever. Amen. We join together in our sending hymn, Savior of the Nations Come, Evangelical Lutheran Worship 263, verses 1, 3, and 6.
Go in peace, prepare the way of the Lord. Thanks be to God.